I have one verse to share with you this morning. It's got a number of branches. But it's one verse. And I am concluding my part of this series on the world of work this morning. And I'm titling this morning's message, The Trust Factory. The Trust Factory. And this message is directed to the workforce, but if you are between jobs or if you have retired, it is still applicable to you. So if you're not actively in the workforce, you're not excused. I'm sure you will find, as you listen to this and apply it to your situation, I'm sure you will find that the Lord has some things in it for you as well. So our text is from the book of Psalms, chapter 9, Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 10. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name writes David, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. What does it mean to know his name? It's not just what he's called. To know his name means to know his character, to know that he is compassionate, to know that he is gracious, to know that he is abounding in loving kindnesses, to know his character. To know his name is to know his attributes, that he has all power, that he has all wisdom, that he is overflowing with love for us. It is to know what he is about. It's about knowing his majesty. It's getting him, knowing him experientially, knowing him from the heart out, not just the head down, but knowing him from the heart out, knowing him intimately. It's important to the Lord that we know and understand him. It matters to him that we know and understand him. In fact, he says in Jeremiah 9 that if there's anything at all that you want to boast about, if there's anything that you want to hang your hat on spiritually, if there's ever a place where you can take pride in your spirituality, here's where to take it. Don't take it because you got wisdom. Don't take it because you have strength or riches. It says, let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows and understands me. If you know and understand me, you've got something to boast about. Everything else pales in comparison. It's important for the Lord, or to the Lord, that we know and understand him. Why does God want us to know him? Because to know him is to trust him. Those who know what you're about, if you really get me, you will trust me. Those who know your name will put their trust in him. Trusting him makes us secure and confident. That's the blessing to us. Trusting in him makes us secure and confident. But it also brings glory to him. And that is why we were created. So it gets to our purpose. It gets to why we are here. We were created to bring glory to God. That is our purpose. That's why he made you and me, to bring glory to him. The benefit is that we are confident and secure because we're trusting him. But what it does for God is it brings glory to him through our lives. And so for that reason, if you're taking notes, here's the main idea. Nothing we can produce in life. Nothing we can produce in life is more important to God than trusting in him. Nothing that we can produce in life is more important to God than trusting in him. The deepest purpose of our lives is to trust in the Lord. That is the deepest purpose that there is. It doesn't get any deeper than that. Why am I here? I am here to trust in the Lord, because in trusting in the Lord, I experience life in its fullness. I experience life in its fullness by trusting in the Lord. I am secure. I am confident. I become radiant. I become joyful. All the things that the fruit of the Spirit pronounces are mine as I trust in the Lord. There is no deeper benefit for me than to trust in him. There is also no greater purpose, because as I trust in him, that is the signature thing that brings glory to him. When people see how I wear my faith in the ups and downs of life, when they see the reality of my walk with God, it brings glory to him. So there is nothing that is a deeper purpose than trusting in the Lord. For that reason, I want to encourage you to use your resources, all of them, your material resources, your intellectual resources, your creative resources, your financial resources, your people resources, all the resources that are available to you. I would encourage you to use them to cultivate your trust in the Lord. If you like making stuff, what have you made that will help you trust in the Lord? If that's the deepest purpose, if that's the greatest benefit, if you like making stuff, if that's a skill you have, what have you made that will help you to trust in the Lord? Is it focused in that direction at all? Is a portion of it focused in that direction? If you like to write, what have you written that'll help you trust in the Lord? If you like talking to people, how have you used that to help you trust in the Lord? If you like reading, what have you read that helps you to trust in the Lord? You see, the Bible calls trusting in the Lord faith. That's another way to look at it. And it calls this process of getting faith, walking by faith or trusting in the Lord, it says in the scriptures that it's a fight sometimes. It's the fight of faith is how it is described sometimes. It's called the work of faith in another place. In other words, faith doesn't just light up on our shoulders like a butterfly. Sometimes you have to scrap and struggle and stress to faith. You have to wrestle. But it's the right fight. It's the right effort. You know, we can fight and scrap about a lot of things. We can scrap and try harder to do the right thing. You can fight hard to live better. You can fight hard to try to be more productive. You can fight about a lot of things. But fighting to trust the Lord, that's the right fight. That's why Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Fight. Because there will be times when faith flows, and there will be other times when it is a struggle. Fight the fight of faith. Work hard spiritually, Timothy. Be a hard worker in the work of faith. In the work of faith. Don't get so busy doing church stuff that you forget the work. You can work so hard that you've forgotten the work. The work itself blinds you to what is the real work. What is the real work? The work is faith. The work is to believe. Because as we believe, we become secure and confident and joyful and radiant and expressions of all the great stuff that God intended for us to be. As we believe, we manifest His glory in ways that attract other people to Him. So if that is the powder keg, if that's the potent place, the evil one obviously will want to distract us from the focus on trusting in the Lord. Sometimes it requires effort, and sometimes it requires, and it always requires focus, but it's the right effort and it's the right focus, because nothing we can produce in life is more important to God than trusting in Him. I have some custom-made coffee mugs at home, and they all have different little things on them, about six of them, a set of six. One of them is my wife's phrase, God wastes nothing. Amen. One of them is Ephesians 3, where it says, although I am the least of God's people, grace has been given me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Another one is, as the whole body, the body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One of them is the Twilight Zone. All the sayings of the Twilight Zone. But in their way, each one of them is, as my brother Michael calls it in the business world, they're prompts. Prompts. What kind of prompts do you have in your life that prompt you to faith? What kind of prompts? I have bracelets on my wrist. Now, you don't have to be like me. I'm a star-spangled, walking around person doing all these kinds of things. But what are your prompts? It's worth it to have things. I have a little ceramic phone on my desk, and at the bottom of it, it says, Lord, call me. And it's just my way of reminding myself to be on call for what He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. I want my faith to be honed to Him. I want to be attuned to Him. So what kind of prompts do you have? The Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, I'm not talking about trusting in the Lord for what you want. There's a difference. That's okay. That's one level. But what I'm talking about is trusting in the Lord for Him, for who He is. Let me ask you a question. How would you like it if you were only loved for what you gave? How does that feel when you're just loved for what you give or what you have given in the past? Doesn't feel too good. We want to be loved for who we are. And the Lord's really no different. He wants to be loved and trusted for who He is. Now, he's gracious and he's generous. That's who he is. It's what he does. And he causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. And he provides whether we acknowledge him or thank him at all. But if you want to know what gets his heart, the love language of the living God is trust. See, everybody's got their love language, right? According to the book, the four or five love languages. Well, God's love language is trust. Trust me. That floats his boat. That pleases him more than all of our effort and energy and all of the other things that we think, trusting him. Because you see, you can do a lot of stuff without trust. But if there's genuine trust, all the other stuff comes. You can't have genuine trust and not have the other things you do. But you can do all the other things without trust. So the most important thing is to trust in him. And the work world is a primary tool in the Lord's hand. That's where work comes in. The work world is a primary tool in the Lord's hand to build trust in him. That's why I call it the trust factory. I said, nothing plays the notes of our keyboard as much as family. Work is number two. Nothing touches our emotions. Nothing plays the keyboard, the range, in our lives as much as work, except family, which is next month's series. So the Lord wants to use that. It says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. So let's focus this word, this verse. Let's focus it on the workplace specifically, now that we have this overview. Let's focus it on the workplace. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. And I like this verse. One of the reasons why is because it doesn't give any qualifiers as to when. It says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. And we can add our own when. Because obviously, it means in every situation. So if we were to focus this on the work world, those who know your name will put their trust in you when business is bad. Not making the numbers. Not hitting the deadlines, not meeting the quotas, not ringing the bell, whatever the bell is in your particular industry. Those who know what you're like, Lord, those who get you, those who know what your character is like, those who know what your attributes are, those who get you will put their trust in you. Now, you can look at that two ways. You can say, oh, gosh, I got to really put my trust in the Lord. You know, I got to do that. Or you can say, I got to get to know you. Because if I get to know you, I'll put my trust in you. See, you can look at it as a commandment, a dictum, or you can look at it as a promise. Lord, as I get to know you, I will put my trust in you. Because those who know you, those who get you, that's what they do. So rather than looking at it from the back end, you can look at it from the other end and say, you know what? There's a cause and effect here. The cause is knowing you. The effect is trusting you. That's why we have at the top of our purpose statement, our purpose is to know him. It all comes back to that, brothers and sisters. No matter how you slice the pie, it always comes back to knowing Jesus. It always comes back to that. We see it all over the scripture. Here's another place. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. Peter and his fishing crew, they fished all night and they didn't catch a thing. Business was bad. Bad business day. No commissions, nothing. Bad business day. Jesus said, go back out. And the rest is history. You know the story. I don't have to repeat it. The rest is history. Those who know your name know that you know where the fish are, Jesus. And they trust in you. He always knows where the fish are. Those who know your name will put their trust in you even when they are not seeing the results that they desire. Even when business is bad. Because they know you. They know you know. Secondly, those who know your name will put their trust in you when business is good. They enjoy the fruit of their labor, but they know that it's part of a larger story. They know that it's part of a larger story, the larger story of trusting in Him. That's the larger story. They know it's not an end in itself. The attitude is this: Lord, I want to thank you for this. Thank you for this success. And I receive it as what is best for me to help me to trust you more. That is how I receive it, as what is best for me at this time to help me to deepen my trust in you. It's not an end in itself. They receive prosperity as a means to the most important end. And the most important end is trusting in Him. So they receive the bad business news and they receive the good business news, the prosperity, both as the same thing. These are designed to deepen my trust in you. Peter knew this. And he knew when they caught all those fish, he knew that it was about more than just bringing in a big haul. He knew that. And that's why he looked at Jesus and it says he was afraid. And he said, Lord, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. Peter knew that this was about his relationship with Jesus. This is about more than just a bunch of fish. This is about Jesus calling me into a deeper place of trust in Him. And Lord, I don't think I measure up here, so I'm afraid. And the Lord said, Peter, that's all right. I know you. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. But this was just another opportunity for trust, another deepening of his relationship with Christ. Peter didn't go hog wild and say, Yahoo, now we're going to retire here. You know, we got all these fish. Come on, guys, let's split it up. Thank you, Jesus. See you later. It wasn't anything like that. He knew it was a deeper spiritual thing that had happened. And that it had come from God through Jesus, and that it was about his relationship with Jesus Christ. So when prosperity rains upon us, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Not get carried away with the prosperity or look at it as, this is the blessing. No, Lord, the blessing is trusting you. This is a gift. But the real blessing is trusting you. And you gave me this to take me deeper. Just like you withheld that thing to take me deeper, you gave me this thing to take me deeper. And those who know your name, when it comes, they won't say, that prayer sure worked. They won't say that. They'll say, Lord, this came so I would deepen with you. Those who know your name will put their trust. Brian Davis said in our leaders meeting the other day, just yesterday, he said that something bigger, you know, people appeal to that something bigger than yourself that you want to be a part of. Like what Brian said, he said that something bigger that we all want to be a part of, it's a yearning for our Creator. It's a yearning for the more of Him. And Brian said, it doesn't matter how much more stuff you get. That's not going to do it. So a person who knows his name knows that it's not in the stuff. They know that. And they say, Lord, what this is all about is the more that's in you. That's what this is about. I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I've told him yesterday, I said, as we were going around and talking, I said, y'all, we have a care and share time. When we talk about what's going on in our lives as a leadership team, we meet once a month and we care for one another and sharing stories and praying for one another. And so I said, y'all pray for me. Pray deeply for me. And pray deeply for our church because things are going great. You see, usually people say pray for me because stuff's going bad. No. Things are going great. Things are wonderful. Pray for me. What I want you to pray is, Lord, help him to trust you. Help him to trust you in the prosperity of this time, not just when things are going bad. Those who know your name will trust in you. God's purpose for prosperity is as a means to knowing and trusting in him. And number three, those who know your name will put their trust in you when people on your job are negative. You see, they understand that God's purposes always trump man's intentions. It always does. God's purposes will always trump man's intentions. You know, as Joseph put it, and you know the familiar verse in Genesis 50, verse 20, after Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, years later they were reunited when Joseph was essentially the prime minister of Egypt. And his brothers were terrified that now they had to face him, knowing what they'd done. And he said what? Somebody help me. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now, I don't know how long it took Joseph to get there. You know, let's not put him up on some pedestal higher than maybe he should be. He was a man, or he was a human being like us. But he got there to the point where he realized that the one in whom he trusted was the one that was orchestrating this whole thing. He could see that. You meant it. You wanted to destroy me. But God meant it for good. Those who know your name will put their trust in you when people on the job are negative. Or as Jesus said to Pilate, Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to condemn you or free you? And Jesus said, no. Well, you may be Pilate, but the only power that you have, you would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from on high. See, those who know who he is can say that. They can say that, and they can say it with confidence. It's not a cliche for those who know your name. It's not a cliche. It's not a religious slogan. It's their truth. Because they've seen enough episodes in their lives where people try to sabotage their success only to see God intervene and turn that thing around in ways that were so miraculous that all they could do is shake their head and say, thank you. So those who know your name will put their trust in you when people on the job are negative. Or as David said when he was being pursued by Saul, and they said, you got him now, David. Take him out. The Lord has delivered Saul, your enemy, into your hands. Take him out. David said, no. His time will come. Or maybe the Lord will strike him himself. Or maybe he'll die in battle. But I don't have to handle this myself. I don't have to take him out. Because, see, David wrote that psalm. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. And number four, those who know your name will put their trust in you when people applaud them. When people think you're the great something. When you are the star. When you are the hero or the heroine. When you are the shining example. Those who know your name will put their trust in you even then. Will not become full of themselves. So impressed were the people by Jesus as he healed them that they came to make him king by force, in their sense of king. And it says Jesus withdrew from them. In another place, so many people professed faith in him. They were believing all over the place, or at least professing their belief. And it says in John chapter 2, but Jesus did not entrust himself to any man because he knew what was in a man. Jesus knew that the mob is fickle, brother. Jesus knew that the very ones who will exalt you will be the ones who will abase you. The very ones who are rallying around you, if it gets too sticky, as Karen Carpenter said, my friends, they haven't forgotten their promises. They're not unkind. They're just hard to find. That they somehow are not there when you need them. But see, those who know your name will put their trust in you even when everybody else is surrounding them and applauding them. They're anchored in you. As Grace White put it, she says, you know, seeing everybody in our lives as being placed there by God. Everybody in our lives is being placed there by God as part of his plans for us. Those who applaud and those who want to detract, they're all a part of the same plan. My faith and my trust is in him. Because he's the one that's going to use all of that. He's the one. So what's most important is not what life delivers to our door, or what's delivered to the door of your office. It's how you receive it. That's what's most important. Not what's delivered, but how we receive it. Do we receive it as a means to the end of trusting the Lord? Is that how we receive it? Or do we receive it with dread and fear? Do we get enamored of it? Or do we get derailed by it? Or do we, by the package itself? Or do we see the package as a means to an end? Robin said yesterday, whether the things knocking on our doors are good things or bad things, they're all God's things. Amen. And all of them are his instruments to help us to have that which is most precious to him and to us, to take us to that place where we know his name and we put our trust in him. Can you see it as lumber, that thing that shows up? Can you see it as lumber for a new room that God is adding to your faith? Or something about to crawl out of the woodwork? Whatever it is, God's going to use it for good in our lives. And we can receive it as a gesture of God's better intentions for us. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. They'll anchor themselves in him. Not in their own wisdom, not in their own power, not in their own influence. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, not even in their own faith. Whoa. Not even in our own faith. Our faith is not in how strong our faith is. Our faith is in him. Those who know your name will put their trust in you, not in their faith, not in their own spirituality. We may be fumbling, failing, fallible, faulty, fractured, fizzling, all kinds of F's. But those who know his name, they know you are the God of all flesh, and nothing is too difficult for you, even me. Even me. So my faith is in you, not in my faith. I trust in you. Why? Because the rest of the verse says so. The rest of the verse says, because you have never forsaken those who seek you. You have never forsaken those who seek you. It's never happened, brothers and sisters. You may think it happened. It may seem like it happened. But the Lord has never forsaken those who seek him. We're going to see it one day, either here or we're going to see it there. But as my wife said, the Lord wastes nothing. Every launch of your faith has landed in his presence. There have been no aborted missions. There have not been any kind of straying off course. Every faith launch that you have made has landed in his presence. And the Lord has never forsaken those who seek him. Everything is the raw material to take us to that most precious place, which is not always our preferred destinations, but it's all intended to take us to the most precious place. And you know where that is? Trusting in him. So tomorrow when you go to the trust factory, what have we here, Lord? May I be among those who know your name and put my trust in you.